Don't just dream about a brighter future. Go for it. If you want to pursue a career involving technology, look to a leader in technology education, ITT Technical Institute. ITT Tech offers career-focused programs in electronics technology, information technology, and drafting and design. Call 800-741-5123. You can develop knowledge and skills that you can use to pursue opportunities in a variety of career fields. ITT Tech's programs are designed to give you practical, real-world experience. Classes and day or evening courses meet just a few days each week. Career services are available for students and graduates, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Would a career involving technology make your dreams come true? Call ITT Tech right now for more information. Call 800-741-5123. 800-741-5123. That's 800-741-5123.
Blog Talk Radio.
Warning. Please be prepared to leave your comfort zone immediately. The construct and belief system that surrounds you will be deconstructed. We will take you beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality. Ever beyond.
Good evening and welcome to Ever Beyond. Our show tonight is, for me, a proud moment, a very proud moment. I'm going to be introducing a very good friend of mine and the woman who brought me into this whole thing, really. She started it off by asking me to do an interview. And I had even no idea what I would be talking about, and suddenly everything kind of exploded from there, and it's been brilliant. So I have a great deal of gratitude and respect, as well as love and affection, for being there, for listening to herself, her inner self, and all of these wonderful things. So without much ado, you've read the little bio. And I'd like to introduce you to Rebecca Jernigan. Rebecca, how are you doing?
Oh, dear. I am doing fabulous. It is so wonderful to be here with you, Jeremy.
Oh, it's lovely to have you here. And we're talking across the Atlantic, but we could be next to each other in the same room. It's quite amazing.
It is amazing. I say that on my show a lot as well. It's just, you know, I think this whole internet thing with the Skype and the ability to talk to somebody in a different country, in a different part of the world, different hemisphere, is absolutely mind-blowing in a very, very positive way. Do you? And I'm old enough to where I remember that we had party lines and you had to hand dial the phones, right? And you had operators that connected you with switchboards. And, you know, if you wanted to call an international company, it was an act of, you know, Congress. And, you know, you had to hawk everything in the world in order to make that call. You know, yeah. It was very expensive. And so here we are. I just, it's very fabulous, very fabulous.
Well, today's a very special day for communications, because 100 years ago was for the first telephone. Apparently today.
Well, I'm not quite that old.
But those they had little donkeys on wheels.
Yeah, there you go.
And then they had the steam powered telephone, of course. And now we have mobile phones, and it's quite amazing. And more than mobile phones, we've got Skype, which is this incredible link through what I believe to be the global consciousness grid, which is what other people call the internet. We have a network of silicon-based life forms, our computers, connected with fiber-optic cables, which is, again, silicon-based. So I believe that the internet is the beginning of the global manifestation of the global brain, and with us as its brain cells. So it's like a kind of meta-brain.
Interesting. That's a very interesting way of wording that. I like that.
Hmm.
Very, very interesting. I like that, Jeremy.
So we went from telephones and you used to do call-in shows on the television, is that right?
That's correct. I used to be on a local cable television network here. I'm in the Kansas City area, and for those of you who are listening from around the globe, that's I kind of live right smack dab in the middle of the United States. Kansas City borders on Missouri and Kansas in the state. And I was invited to be on the air with a gentleman who was a psychic and used to do readings and call-ins, and he used to interview local people that had local wares or people that were coming in to doing workshops. He would have them on a show to interview them so that they got exposure. And he invited me on one day. I ended up becoming his co-host, and then I was invited to do my own show. And so I was doing two shows a week and was doing live call-ins for people. And I was also interviewing. I started interviewing people. My very first interview, by the way, was a lady by the name of Betty Eady. And she's quite controversial in her time. And that was many, many years ago. So she was my first television interview that I had done back in the 90s. So you might want to look her up, Betty Eady, E-A-D-I-E. Fascinating woman. It was very, very fun speaking with her. So, yeah, so I started out in television. I'd done that for about three and a half years. And then I kind of went on what we call the circuit, the workshop seminar circuit. And I did talks all over the United States and readings all over the United States. And after a while, that kind of gets to you. And I quit doing that in the late 90s and quit doing seminars and workshops in the late 90s for traveling purposes.
Mm.
And then in the early 2000s, the information came in and says, oh, you need to do a radio show. I was like, what? I know nothing about radio show. So let me back up a little bit here, if I may, Jeremy.
Yeah.
The information about doing the radio show came from my guidance. And there are levels to the guidance, and I know we want to get into this, so I'm kind of, you know, setting the stage for this for our conversation a little bit later.
Hmm.
My guidance was the one that said you need to go on radio, and, you know, here I am kicking and screaming all the way there, and at every turn I was having people prompt me, you know, it was one of those things that you just can't ignore. People were saying, you know, you really have this wonderful voice. You need to be on the radio. And I was like, everybody keeps telling me that. I don't want to be on the radio. You know? So here I am, 9 years later.
9 years later.
I'm on the radio 9 years now almost. Yeah, matter of fact, coming up here this year is 9 years. So, so it's been a journey like I would never have imagined. The most marvelous, weird, wacky, blessed, beautiful, wonderful way.
It has been. I mean, I joined your journey, as it were, a couple of years ago. I think I can't remember who brought me there. Probably through Project Camelot or something like that. But I was just kind of looking around, seeking around, and found a few interesting things. And then I tuned into your radio. And what was actually the best thing about it was the chat room. Because I met so many lovely people there, and you know, some of these people have even gone on to having their own shows,
such as yourself,
such as myself, such as Erin McCollum, as Dave Corso, who's now co-hosting at Project Information Generation. So it's been quite a journey, even as a listener, having just been a very much a peripheral kind of, you know, here I am, I'm on the other side of the Atlantic and I'm staying up late and I'm listening to this stuff and I'm walking around my girlfriend's house with these big silver headphones on, looking like a sweat man.
I'm
kind of motioning at me, I hate these things, stop me. So I left her. You know, what can I do? And I stayed around the house.
I love it. I think it's great. That's awesome.
Oh, I do recommend cordless headphones for everybody, particularly if those of us who play electric guitars and things like that. And the cords always get tangled up, and I'm always standing on the cord and things like that. So
here's my problem with them. I have to share my issue with them. I love them. And I've had them. But my problem is because I have so much energy that I get up and walk around. Well, you can't do that when you're on the radio. So I actually have to have mine plugged in. Yeah, so that keeps me kind of tethered. I don't worry about floating off too much.
That's good. So, yes, 9 years, as I was saying earlier on, it's in internet terms, 9 years is like a geological age. You have probably seen revolutions, internet sub-revolutions going on and off and starting and finishing in your time. But there you go. You've been regularly. Have you had two shows a week in the last 9 years?
No, it started out as a once a week, and it was a pre-recorded show.
Mm-hmm.
I had all my interviews set up on a pre-recorded thing, and I would send them in to different radio stations that I was on, and I did that for about 2 years, and I became kind of a how do I want to word this? It became part that those two I was producing the shows for were becoming, changing my schedule. They would change when I was airing because that's their option, right? I mean, it is definitely their option. And I found that if they weren't promoting the show, their station, then people weren't listening. It didn't matter who I was or anybody else on there. If you don't know the station is out there, then, you know, nobody really knows. So it was the birth of a lot of different things, by the way, that came to pass beyond that. And one of them has been Blog Talk Radio.
Mm.
And it made it very, very easy for people to do their own shows. But what I found after a couple of years was that I just decided that I didn't want to participate in other people's rules and regulations. Not that that's negative or positive. It was just a choice I made. And so decided to do my own radio show and broadcast it myself. And then I went to once a week, and I was still doing pre-record for a while because, see, you have to understand, I was kicking and screaming, right, this whole time. And, you know, they're wanting me to move forward, and I'm going, I'm really, really fine right where I'm at. Thank you. And so, you know, it's like, okay, just buck up and go for it. So I did. Started doing the live shows. Now they're just so my preference. They're so my preference.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, I have many, 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 many publishers. And, you know, that was, I have to tell you, that was one of my biggest things when I started the radio show. I was like, well, what if nobody wants to talk to me?
Yeah.
You know, they don't know who I am. You know, what if they don't want to talk to me? What if I can't get a guest?
Oh.
And all I did was made contact one time. This is true.
Mm-hmm.
I made contact one time with like a half a dozen different people. And I've never had to contact anyone ever again.
Mm.
It's just exponentially grown. And I have some of the biggest publishing companies that publish what we would consider non-mainstream writers, you know, that have contacted me. Warwick Publishing, Llewellyn, there's some others, Hay House. And they contact me and say, we've got a new, you know, new author, or this author that's been on before is a new book. Would you like them to come on? And, you know, they send me books or they send me DVDs, they send me their bios, you know, and I actually handpick each and every individual that comes on my show.
Mm.
You know, they either will resonate or they won't, or there's something else there that needs to be done, right? And so, you know, through the years, I kind of went from the pre-recorded to the recorded and, you know, to the live. And, you know, then it got to be where I had so many people wanting, I was booking 3 months in advance for my show. And I found that when you started booking too far out, you know, people's lives really do change.
Yeah.
You know, that's constant. You're constant changing. So then I added another night to it. That's when I went to the two times a week. And then I expanded from 1 hour to 2 hours. And so I've been doing that for, I think, 3 to 4 years. See, time has no relevance to me whatsoever. So it's been somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 4 years that I've been doing two shows a week, 2 hours each show. So, and I could actually do shows probably 5 nights a week. I really could.
Really?
Yes, I really could. However, I don't have any engineering capabilities for that many times a week, right, at the moment.
Right. But in terms of guests or in terms of how your energy flows with it?
Both.
Right.
Because one thing is connected to the other. There's not a separation there with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not a separation with that. This is, you know, some people would call this my job, but I don't look at it as my job. I certainly don't look at it as my hobby.
Mm.
It is something I do. And I have no other way to express it except for like that. This is what I do. It's not who I am in its entirety, but it is what I do.
Yeah.
Partially. I do many other things as well. But it is what I do. Go ahead.
It's what you are as what you do, because what you we'll talk a little while. We'll talk about your rays and how your rays move with the work that you do. We'll talk about that.
All right.
But so we've gotten up to today, and we had the all of these things. But in the background is, you say, quote, the information, unquote. You get information from whom? Or what?
Okay, this is several sources here, okay? The first one I'm going to talk about briefly, and if you want to ask questions, certainly you're free to do so at any time, is the Elohim. Now, those are a set of guides that have been with me since I have my earliest memories of about 3 to 4 years old. Now, I obviously did not know their name at that time. And so here's another part of that I've tried to share with people. And I don't think that I've probably put it into a context in which most people can understand. It never occurred to me to ask me who they were. Never occurred to me. It's very much like, and to kind of relate it to maybe things that people can understand, it'd be like you meeting somebody for the first time and you just know that person. You don't need to say, what's your name again?
Mm.
You just seem to know them, and you communicate and you talk with them. You feel their energy. You feel whether or not you resonate with them. And there are some people that you meet that you just feel like that you've known them all your life. Yeah. You know, for the first time you've met them in the physical form.
Yeah.
So it's much like that. So it wouldn't occur to me if I'd meet you in person, Jeremy, and we were in the same room and we just started talking, it probably would not occur to me, other than social manners, to even ask you what your name was.
Yeah.
I would either have a conversation with you or I would not. I mean, it's that simple. So for me, it never, ever occurred to me to ask who they were. I just always called them my guides. And then I had people there for a long time in the early 90s. This was when kind of the explosion in the late 80s and 90s, the explosion with channeling came forward. You know, psychics were much more respected. They were, you know, coming out of the closet, so to speak, et cetera, and so forth. You know, the whole movement, I guess, into... I really just like the term New Age, but into the more of the metaphysical aspect of the world was kind of erupted. It was always there, but it really erupted and went big time.
Mm.
And I had people that asked me who my guides' names were, and I was like, well, I don't know. And you know, it always made me scratch my head going, well, I don't really feel the need to ask them who they are, right? So as I was sitting down meditating one day, and I was like, well, you know, if you guys want to share your, you know, name with me, please do. And when I say guys, I'm talking about a group. So the term that's being used now is a collective.
Yeah.
It was a group of guides. And they had very different personalities, by the way, but they were always from the same group. I always sensed their energy and knew exactly who they were. It was like, you know, somebody could walk into the room, if they had a face of somebody else, you still would know that that wasn't them behind the mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would always know if it was them or not. So as time went on, I was actually doing a healing session. I was in a group, and we were all doing some energy work on some individuals. We used to do open houses and offer free healing for people, free energetic sessions. And then all of a sudden, they came in and they said, we are the Elohim. And I turned around and looked in the room because the voice was really loud. I was like, surely everyone heard that, right? Nobody heard it. It was, you know, they were talking to me, and I was like, excuse me? you know, kind of answered in my mind, and they were like, we are the Elohim. And I said, well, who's that? And they said, you need to read about us and understand that once you read about us, then you need to come back and talk with us again. So I started doing my research, and I started to ask people, have you ever heard of the Elohim? No. Some people said, no, I've never heard of them. So he said, oh, yeah, they're part of the Bible. And so, you know, then I did the whole Bible thing. I was like, eek. You know, I was like, no, that really, they don't resonate like that. You know, so it's been an ongoing getting to know or get reacquainted, because they really feel like home to me.
Hmm.
That's the best way to describe that. They do feel much like home to me. And they're beautiful. They're wonderful. And they are no nonsense kind of a group with me. They don't put icing on anything for me. They have been pretty forward with me. Just really strong, I guess, is a good word. So that's one of the guidance. The other part of that is that through the years, I've worked very, very hard to, I call it an integration, to meld my energy field with theirs, so that I don't have to stop and make a connection. They're always there. They're always talking. It's like a constant data stream of information. I'm never alone. And, you know, that saying that people says you don't walk alone, you really don't. When you connect to your guidance, you are never alone. They may not be in physical form, but their energies can give you just as much comfort if you would need it, if you allow yourself to feel that, which is opening up the heart center. They give you just as much wisdom as sitting down in front of your wise old grandma, and if not more. They can make you feel just as good as eating an apple pie. They can tell you, are you sure you really want to do that? So they can make you question your motives. Why are you doing it? They keep you on track. They give you these great bits of information about, hey, maybe you should not go that direction today. Maybe you should go this direction. And learning how to trust that source that you connect to from the soul of who you are. And so when I sometimes now, well, and I have over several years now, a few years actually, is recognize that there's a part of me that I'm actually connected to the higher self of me, which is then connected to what I call the Elohim, my group of guidance. So there's kind of like levels to it without being a definitive line saying, oh, well, you stepped up into this, you know, higher dimension when you're connecting with them. For me, it's all part of the whole thing. Does that make sense? I'm saying that to you.
Yeah, it's about. Would it be like when you're looking at a spectrum, a rainbow, that the colors don't have sharp edges? That is one.
No, they blend. They flow.
Yeah,
from
so
one
as
to
you
the
got
other.
Frequencies, you'll get less of one frequency and more of another, and it will blend together like that. So that's very interesting. So when you speak to your higher self, do you speak to your higher self, or is that just like a transport mechanism?
No, I speak with my higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I always pay attention to my mechanics. I'll use it that way. I pay attention to the mechanics. What do I do when I'm doing this? So it's like being an outside observer watching what I'm doing. So sometimes I'll sit and I'll go, now, what should I do about whatever? You know, I ask myself a question. And it's as if my eyes roll up and I look up, straight up. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'm talking to my higher self. And when I'm connected beyond the higher self, so to speak, which is still connected to all things, there's no definitive break line there, as we've talked about, then my eyes will go in a different direction. They go outwards, more peripheral and then up, not straight up.
Wow.
It's just a mechanics thing that I've noticed. I don't know how else to explain it.
But that's something that happens as a result of you tuning in your mind.
Right.
Your heart.
Yes. When I'm actually listening, then it's like you know, my eyes cut to wherever it is the information is coming from. And then through the years I've learned what that information source is based on which side and what direction, so to speak, that I'm paying attention to.
Right.
It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. I mean, that's just the way that I work. I mean, that's just what I've noticed about myself.
Yes. I mean, this is one of these things that, you know, you always hear these things, know thyself and all that stuff, and everybody's, you know, learning the spiritual path and things like that. But when you actually get to, like, experience something and then observe yourself experiencing that, seeing exactly the mechanics of it, as you say, that, like, how that feels and what that feels like, that's really internalizing the journey. That's really going on the journey and doing it.
Well, and you know, it's just, I've always operated that way, And I tell people that it's the subtleties that make the difference. People, there's still some people out there, and I would say this to those that are looking for, like, the big boom. You know, if you're looking for the big booming voice, or you're looking for the big bright light to come in to let you know that this is, you're connected, that's not really where that comes from. They don't need all the show and tell kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. It's listening to the internal self and how you flow, and I guess how you vibrate is the best way of putting that. What makes you vibrate? What changes your vibration? And what about that vibration changes your perspective that you can actually focus on and, I guess, mentally put some kind of a thought process and a configuration of it.
Yeah. Well,
together.
There's one of the people in the chat room is asking the question, are your guides external or internal? And I would say that at this point,
they're both.
The difference, because you're not talking about in or out, because those are but part of the great illusion and the construct, as you call it. But it's about your vibration and the frequency that something is vibrating at. I don't know exactly. You know, people say, well, you're vibrating at a lower frequency. Maybe all parts of me are vibrating, but there's one that's being focused on, or something like that. I've still got a little bit of a problem with this, you know, raising your frequency and raising your vibration. I still have to eat and sleep and do all these things as a flesh and blood being. And I've often wondered, you know, how it is. What do they mean? Raise your vibration. How do you interpret it, Rebecca?
Raising one, and I'd like to address the question very quickly to the gentleman or lady, whoever asked the question. They're not inside or out. We're connected to it. I mean, there is no separation, and that's what our world would have us believe, is that there's a separation, that the guides or the higher self that we connect to is separate from me or you or your individual self, and that's so not true. There's not one thing that's not connected to another. So it's all connected. It's just learning how to find that flow. It's learning how to find that little piece that will take you, you know, it's like finding the road to go from point A to point B. That's all it is. You just got to find the road. It's there. You just got to look around and you got to sense it, and then you got to walk the road and it'll take you where you're looking for. So that's kind of how I would put that in kind of more logical terms. Now, as far as this other stuff that you're saying, Jeremy, and here's how I separate that out a little bit. See, I just talked about don't separate things out, but here I am doing it. But it's a whole different thing,
yeah,
in regards to that. Raising one's frequency or raising one's vibration, those are actually two separate components of kind of the same thing. What you're trying to do is actually raise your awareness. You are raising yourself above the way the Elohim put it, the construct, the matrix, the energetic grid system that keeps us in the space that we've been in, okay, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even when we talk energetically. So when we talk about raising one's vibration, what you're doing is the vibration, as an example, it can be attributed to an emotion. So a vibration of depression or sadness, anything that's a low level vibration, if you're feeling melancholy, those are not explosive emotions. Those are lower level, they're low energy,
mm-hmm,
kind of emotions. You know, we don't get all crazy when we're depressed. More likely we get very lethargic and we get less moving and our brains aren't functioning very quickly. The body slows down. So we're in this lower vibrational field, right? But if we're angry or really PO'd or we're just, you know, in any kind of an extreme, now our vibration is actually higher.
Mm-hmm.
But is that a vibration that you really want to carry? So that's when we get into the frequency thing, in my opinion. The frequency is what determines whether or not the vibration that you're vibrating at is a positive or not so positive. Not making a judgment as one is good or the other, or the other. You know, we all get angry. We all have our days where we feel low. We all have days where we don't feel good even, whatever the case may be. Those change our vibration, which then changes the frequency. It's kind of like the radio transmitter that goes out. The frequency is, I'm not feeling, you know, very fun today. I'm not feeling very loving today. I'm not feeling very kind today.
Mm-hmm.
And then that frequency is what is the, you know, the radio broadcaster that lets people know. And if you are in tune, this gets into the next step. If you're in tune with those radio frequencies that we all give off, then you can step into a room and you can exactly know what somebody's feeling like and what they're doing and whether or not you even want to interact with that person. Or if maybe they just need a kind word, that's where psychism and intuitiveness comes from. It's from tapping into the vibrations, the frequencies that are all around us. And then in turn, we can help people to change their own vibration.
Yes.
And that makes sense.
Tuning the radio.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the radio is a perfect metaphor for all of these. And in fact, I think it goes actually beyond the metaphor in when you're talking about, you know, you can tune into a person or you're listening you find somebody on the same wavelength as you. You know, they're actually scientific terms, and they're scientific descriptions of frequency. You know, wavelength and frequency are they're the same, they're synonymous. So they have a different formula, but it's the same thing. So when you're tuning into somebody, it's just like you could be in a room full of people, and it's like having a room full of people on radio transmitters, and one might be on one channel and another might be on another, and you just click around, and you know, everybody's got a walkie-talkie. I'll see you on channel 5, and you know, you have 3 or 4 people on the channel 5 wavelengths, and you know, I'll see you on channel 9, and you know, I'll probably be on the channel 9 wavelength, and so will you. It's a perfect analogy, because all of the radio signals are there in the room, all at different frequencies, all at the same time, and yet everybody's in the same room.
Right.
So it's a perfect analogy in a way you have that. Now, I have a question.
Oh, right.
It's a very popular question, because lots of people are saying, oh, good question. So I'm going to ask it for the people in the chat room. Here we go. What is the best way to evoke or call on your guides, getting to know them, etc.?
Okay. Now, there is not like a step-by-step instructions. That's the first thing I want people to understand. As I'm viewing this and viewing some of those that are asking this question, it's an individual path. There are some steps and some different ideas that I will present. And then what I suggest people to do is to be the mad chemist and try this and this and this, and then if that doesn't work, then try this and this together. But the thing that the biggest block that I find that most people have in reaching or listening to their guides is that they think that, and I'll tell you, I went through this, and I'll share this story with you, but the biggest block is that people think, well, why would anyone want to talk to me? Why would they want to talk to me? And even if they're not saying that, there's a feeling about that you're less than those you're communicating with.
Mm.
There is that overriding precedence that you are not as worthy or as lofty or as deserving of this as somebody else. That is the first thing you have to get rid of, because there is no separation between, like, myself and the Elohim. They just reside in a different area. I'm just having a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that being said, I used to sit and ask them over and over and over and over again, why are you sharing this information with me? I am nobody. Over and over and over all my life. Why are you talking to me? You know, I'm nobody special, right?
Mm.
But we all are special.
Yeah, especially you.
Well, whatever. See, there you go. So I just want everyone to know the things that I'm telling you about is things that I've walked through myself. You know, because I thought, well, gosh, nobody, why would they want to talk to me? You know, it's just me. And I'm just me, right? Well, me and everyone else out there is just as special as everyone else. And we're all so unique. That is such the coolest thing ever, is that we're all so unique. So the first thing is to let go of that you are less than on any level than the information that you're trying to receive. Okay? That's the first thing, is to let go of that, release it. And then you really need from the heart of who you are is to say, those who are my guides, those who are my higher guidance, my higher wisdom of truth and my love, please come to me and talk to me or let me know that you're here. Now, here's where the big key comes in. Remember I was talking about subtleties?
Yep.
Okay, see, people, this is where people are going to go, where's the big booming voice, the bright light, you know, the knock on the door, somebody walks in, an apparition shows up. Now, that doesn't mean they can't happen. I'm not saying that's not possible. But 99% of the time, that's not the way it happens. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it can't. But if you're expecting some big, big, huge thing to happen to draw your attention, that's not how it works. It's extraordinarily subtle for most people, which means you have to learn to quiet yourself and just listen to what you're listening to.
Yes.
If you can listen, if you can get quiet enough and you can go inside, you can travel all around in your body. It's really a fun experiment. Travel around in your body. Follow an artery. Follow one of your bones all the way up and feel what it feels like to be connected to the tissues and the muscles and everything else. Listen to your heartbeat. Feel where that blood's going. Go up into your head. Feel things inside, not just externally, but inside. The body will speak volumes to you if you learn to listen to it. And then you will get that knowingness that somebody is trying to connect with you. Like there's times when people will talk. Here's a really good thing to share with people right now, Jeremy,
mm-hmm.
is that people will be talking to somebody and something will come out of their mouth and they'll go, well, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Well, that just came either from your higher self or your guides.
Yeah.
That's how it is. That's how it works. It can be that simple. It's beautiful.
Yeah. In fact, people say, how do I contact my guides? I would say, how do you listen to them? Because they're contacting you already.
Yeah, they're already around you.
Yeah.
So it's learning to listen to the subtleties. You can feel a shift in air pressure. You can feel a temperature change. You can hear a soft tune in your head, or you can smell an aroma. There's all kinds of things that can manifest itself in those moments when you're just sitting there and have no expectations. Have no expectations. Just being open is when we usually receive.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes.
So really, that's the best way to communicate with them, to contact them,
mm-hmm.
is by getting quiet and notice what you notice.
Shut up in your face, eh?
Notice what you notice.
My own personal journey started in 1988, which is interesting because a lot of people started about then.
Yes.
I just had he was sitting with a piece of paper and a pencil, I was just kind of scribbling, you know, just doodling or something like that. And suddenly I heard in my head, you know, this voice. And what was interesting, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Babylon 5, but they have this creature called a Vorlon, and the way that this creature speaks has this very unusual way of speaking, and it was the same as this voice that I heard, which was, it said, what was it? Cut out the ego trip and get on with your job. And, you know, I heard this, you know, just in my head. And, with this very strange thing. And I said, well, what job is that? In my innocent way. And they said, energy, transforming energy. And I thought, what the hell do you mean? And that was, but very soon after that, for some bizarre reason, you know, I didn't know where this came from, I started wearing white clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I decided somehow that I I didn't want to wear black clothes or colored clothes. And in a way, it was a kind of cleansing because it really forced me to pay attention to what I was touching. When you wear
yes.
clothes, you have to be very careful what you touch. I suppose it, in a way it was a kind of discipline to clean up my act, literally to make sure that I'm touching pure things and connecting with purity. So that was my first connection with my guides, and after that all I would do, I would take a piece of paper. I started off with a pen and a paper. And I would write the word hello on the paper at the top, and then they would say, hello, Jeremy, how are you doing today? And just like a normal sort of a bit like the chat messages that we have nowadays. That's basically how it's come out for me. I type a thing, and then they send a paragraph back that comes in for me as a feeling of some kind, and I kind of write out that feeling. Sometimes it does come as discrete words, and particularly when there's kind of psychic interference for me, that the discrete words come one at a time, and almost like I'm forgetting the next word, I'm forgetting the last word as I'm writing the next word, so that it is. To me, it's very, very impossible for me to fake this because I'm not making it up. It's these words are coming one at a time, and when I read them back, they all make a flowing sentence rather than being a bunch of random words just written down on a piece of paper. And then I discovered that I could do this on the laptop, that I could, there was no difference between writing things down. There was no magic in writing on paper, that I can do it on the laptop. And so I've kept it on the laptop ever since. Very much like conversations with God. And I believe that everybody, because, you know, I have the same thing. I'm just this guy from the East End of London. I'm just a regular guy. I do tend to stay up late a bit, and that's how I met you. So that's always an interesting thing. But I didn't feel I was anything special, it's been very interesting this whole thing, and I didn't speak to them for years on end, and then a few years ago I met somebody who encouraged me to start again, and I did from then, and it's been a very interesting journey. I'll speak more about that, but how tell me more about how you. Do you write your communications down? Do you record your communications down?
No. If you listened to the show the other night, I got slapped around a little bit. Nora was really good at that. Nora Harold,
mm-hmm.
And her guides when they come in, it's very fascinating to me when I have people on that are psychic or intuitive on and they're knowing of it.
Mm.
And their guides will come in, and it's like my house gets very full. You know, the room gets very full, I should say. And so they're always chatting with me. And some of the information was that you need to start doing more of the recording of it. Whether I used to do automatic writing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When I would connect with people in the old days on the internet, and you'd go into the chat box, they weren't virtual chat box in those days. It was kind of like an email system almost, where you'd write something, you'd have to wait and somebody read it and then respond back to you, and then they'd have to send button and all of that. And it was a little cumbersome. And I would, you know, it's like a channeling. And even as I'm sometimes doing my show or I'm talking with somebody, because of the and I'm using this term in a very loose manner, but the integration that I went with to have the Elohim as part of, you know, my everyday world, I channel all the time without channeling like most channelers do.
Mm.
So there's a lot of things that come out of my mouth that I don't even remember saying because it really isn't me, Rebecca, sitting here saying it. And there's not a change of voice for me. There's not an inflection difference. But I am supposed to start, and I went through a period of about a month where I was just writing like a madwoman. All this information came in, and then life gets disrupted, and I didn't get back to it, but I'm have been kind of pushed and shoved, so to speak, kicking and screaming. Here we go again. into doing some more recording of it and also some automatic writing. But the best way for me to actually communicate, or them, if you would, to communicate, is for somebody to ask them questions specifically to them, and then they answer them. So it's a pretty interesting way of doing it. Although they do talk to me nonstop, really, it is a nonstop thing. And, you know, for some people, they would think that would drive you nuts, but it really isn't. It's not like a constant chatter that's annoying. It's just constant, look at it this way, look at it that way. Here's another way of looking at it. Anything I do, from the simplest of things to, you know, the most complex quantum stuff, right, and multidimensional things. So it doesn't matter what I'm doing, is that they're always in constant contact with me.
Hmm.
So, but I will try to get some more things posted to my site, and hopefully one of these days I'll even put together an actual audio recording.
Have you ever done live readings on the radio?
Oh, yes, I do live readings on the radio. I used to do, yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, when I first started out, I used to have and that's the reason why I have the email address that I do. It's called Mailbag. Because when I first started doing my show, I would have people write me email questions, and I would answer them on the air.
Mm.
And so they would be answered on the air, and so I would do live readings on the air. So I always had a mailbag section in each one of my shows, in my earlier shows.
Yeah. Wow. So, and the other thing, aside from asking questions, do the Elohim ever say, okay, we'd like an audience with your audience, and can we speak? Do they ever request that they?
They have, you know? They have, but it's been in a very inopportune time. I can't, you know. There's where the crux of my matter comes in. Is if I'm doing the show and I have a guest on, I can't interrupt my guest and say, "I'm sorry, but you're going to have to be quiet now because I need to speak. This is all about you, but I'm taking over." It doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. They have actually those things. They were like, we'd like to address that. And for those who know me really well, Jeremy, there are times when I've asked questions or I've made statements on the air, and the tone of voice is just slightly different. Mm. There is a different energy that comes through with them. It's much softer than my own. They speak a little differently than I do. And, you know, just there's just some verbiage there. If you pay attention, you'll realize it's not me. And they have spoken on the air before. It's just that people don't realize that they have.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things that I always noticed about your show. You always say, interesting.
Yes. There's the reasons why I say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's two reasons I say that. You want me to divulge my secret?
Of course.
All right. There's been times when I've had people on the show that have talked about things that I absolutely do not agree with.
Yeah.
And I actually have had people write me emails going, you had this person on, but yet you said this and they said that. Mm-hmm. I'm just filled with contradictions, and that's why I started putting all these things. The views of the guests don't necessarily reflect those of Journeys with Rebecca Jernigan, or any of the other people, right?
Course, yeah.
But you know, you have to give people an opportunity to speak, regardless of whether you agree with them or not, because there are some people out there that what that individual is speaking is their truth. Yeah. That was a big deal for me, by the way, is truth. I thought truth was truth was truth, and there just wasn't anything else but truth, or there wasn't truth. And that one truth fit everyone. I really did believe that.
Yep.
I could wrap my little brain around that one. That one was like, are you kidding, really?
Yep.
How can I believe that? And then they believe that. Then that doesn't then it's a lie. No, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And so it took me a long time conceptually to get through that. So, you know, now it's like, okay, so somebody comes on and they say something and I just think it's just totally outlandish and that it's not what I think of. I sometimes say interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually change the subject.
So I usually change the subject.
Other times I'll say, well, that's interesting. What do you think about? And it's usually along the same lines.
Yeah.
So again, a little subtleness there, and it works very well for me. Because one of the things I am is pretty diplomatic. Usually. I can't be.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, this is the way I am. You and I share certain ray energies. Now, this show, some of my, most of the listeners here will be familiar. I've started to speak the rays and talk about the rays. And I'd like to just cover these rays which we share at the moment, because they do have a, they give you your perspective on life, because it's where you're coming from. So, when we look at the rays that you have, for instance, you have a monad, which is along the line of the first ray, which is what gives you a certain singularity, and also this intention, the original intent, as it were, to be almost it's what makes you first. It what brings you to be the first person in internet radio or like I said, the first lady. It's what creates a certain you might call it uniqueness, but that makes us all unique. But it's the drive for the truth. And to be as close as you can to the ultimate truth, and to speak it, not to hold it back, not to be like a someone from a secret society. It's actually to bring it out, to come from the truth and to transmit it. And then you have a secondary soul, the soul of an initiate, of somebody who's studied in past lives. All kinds of spirituality. You've been through the whole gamut of all the different initiations. Eventually, you get to the point when you get the second ray soul. It shows a certain level of spiritual attainment, and I'd say you're pretty high up in the levels of spiritual attainment. And then with the third ray personality, the third ray is the ray of intelligence and communication. And it's absolutely the world of the internet, the world of transportation and commerce and business and all that, but mainly the communication, because it ruled the throat center. And so, as humanity, so you see the rays of the 1, 2, 3. That's the rays of humanity as a whole. That's what we're here for. We're here to spread the word of truth and light to the universe. As this is our sort of, in a way, as our small beginning of, we found ourselves. We've been guided by our guides to giving out information on the internet that is as true as we can find it. That's what you are, and this is what you do. Is what I was trying to say. Part of your beingness is the fact that this information flows through you, and you have got the intelligence and the wherewithal to figure out how to transmit yourself, how to get on the radio, how to make a radio show, how to do all these things, and you have the love that attracts people to you. And attracts the right energies towards you, so that you've given so much of yourself in service to bringing through these people. I mean, you've had some amazing people on your show, long may it continue, because When I say you've had some amazing, there's one person you've had on your show. Well, he's not so amazing, but but you invited me on your show about 8 months ago, and I was just a member of the audience, and we'd been speaking to each other on Skype, and then suddenly one day you said, "Come on my show," and I was completely freaked out, and literally it was the same as you, kicking and screaming. What do I do? I have no idea. I know nothing. What can I say? And suddenly it occurred to me that, you know, I've been studying this subject for 18 years and maybe I have to start talking about it. I've never felt, you know, sort of strong enough to talk about it. But because I was put on the spot and like, I had to talk about something, it's something I knew. And I tell you, Rebecca, it has just blossomed from there. So I'd like to thank you publicly for bringing me on your show, and as I said, I'm very proud to have you on my show as the next turn of the spiral.
That is absolutely beautiful. Seriously, that's very beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Really, and you know, I would like to ask you a question now. It seems how I've got you. I got you at a point where I can just ask you this. See,
okay, go ahead.
So you might be in trouble. So,
ready?
Once you were on my show, because you really were very nervous and you really didn't want to do it, and you were very to do it.
Mm.
Was it all right for you?
Oh, it was great. I mean, once I saw the chat room, you see, I get this, and it's like one of these things, you know. I've found myself put in front of people all of my life since the age of 12 or 13. I've had to stand up in front of people and do stuff, you know. It started off with reading the Bible, you know, sort of having to go up in front of the people in the congregation and just read the Bible. And now it's gotten to the point where I did it so many times that I can cold read the biblical language. You know, I don't need to read it beforehand or practice it or anything. I can just read it cold. So that was a great skill. Not that I enjoy it. I don't know. It's transitions, Rebecca. It's always transitions.
Sure.
I don't like going to bed and I don't like getting up. I don't like going in the bath and I don't like getting out the bath. I don't like going out of the house. I don't like coming home. You know what I mean?
Yes. I like just to be somewhere, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's it. I don't like driving the car, but when I'm there, I'm happy. It's very nice to have that very warm and very homely introduction. And then when I saw the chat room and everybody chatting away and saying, wow, how fascinating this is and everything, you know, something in me went, I like this.
It kind of gets to you after a while, doesn't it?
That's right.
It does, in a very good way.
Yeah.
Well, I you know, obviously wish you continued success in what you're doing. You know, you're doing a huge service to people as well. So you need to know that and give yourself some credit for that as well. And I'm glad that I was able to have you on my show, and now you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in a whole different manner.
Absolutely.
Really. It's that transition from one place to another. And every time I find myself on a show with a new guest, it literally takes me from one place to another just by the mere nature of them being on my show.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating to me how this process works and what's the point behind it and what's the information being shared, et cetera, and so forth. It's absolutely amazing to me how when you get into the flow of your life, even if you're kicking and screaming and you're still in the flow of your life, how really perfect things really do turn out.
Mm.
And how we're actually honoring, I guess I'm going to use these terms, how we're actually honoring our contract, whether we remember them or not.
Yeah.
And so for me, all of us connecting up, you know, I sometimes sit back and, you know, the things that people don't see me do when I'm not on the radio show is I go back and I'll look through the chat box, or I'll have some of these most magnanimous messages that come through email that literally move me to tears in such a powerful way. It's just fabulous, and I'm so ever grateful.
So we've managed to this little hour. Absolutely, absolutely stupendous, Rebecca. It's been a lovely kind of return and recapitulation. Rebecca Jernigan, we have 1 minute. I'd like to thank you for being on my show. Do you have any last minute messages for any of our guests? We will continue recording just a couple of minutes later to tidy things up, but most people will lose this feed in a few seconds. So, Rebecca,
That's such a shame. You know, some other time maybe I'll come on and I can certainly answer more questions for people. But what I would say is really to learn to be your authentic self and learn the difference between what has been programmed into you or what beliefs that really do belong to you and not belong to you. Those are very subtle differences there, and to learn to listen to the within in order to find your own path to your guides. And thank you, Jeremy. This has just been my pleasure and my joy.
My pleasure, too. Thank you very much, Rebecca Jernigan. Hi. That's the show gone. Right. So if I click that,